Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
One alive, one dead, one fictional. It's up to you who you choose, you pick them all. It's up to you who you choose, you pick them all. Who you having? Make it who you wish. This is your dinner party, and it's your guest list.
Hello, and welcome to episode 24 of Guest List with Jake Lambert, the podcast where I interview comedians to find out who would be their perfect dinner party guests. But they can only pick three. One has to be alive, one has to be dead, and one has to be fictional. This week we are joined by the very funny Tez Ilias. It's a really great episode, but before we get on with that, just to say, this will be the last episode of the series. I will be back at some point, but I've just got a bit too busy and gigs have come back and other stuff's come in, so I hope you understand. It's been amazing, and this is the 24th, so I think that means it's 6 months worth, and it's been so good, and it was lovely to do during lockdown. It was lovely to speak to comedians and catch up with them, and it was lovely to have all the feedback, and thanks again for all the emails, and I still have a few to reply to from last week, but I will do that. So if you want to drop me a message, then you can. It's guestlistwithjake@gmail.com. Thanks to people who have sent messages, who have downloaded. I've recently had people come up to me at gigs in Birmingham and just last weekend in Nottingham to say that they listened to the show and to tell me who their guest would be. So that's been so lovely. I really enjoyed it, and I'm glad you have too. Stay subscribed, because I will do a second series. I've already got about six comedians lined up who said they'd want to come on. So it should be back soon. And thanks also to everybody who has donated. Thank you to people who have done that, and if you wish to, it's very lovely, but honestly, just downloading and listening is more than enough, and I will speak to you again soon, but for now, please enjoy my conversation with Tez Ilias.
Big up your t-shirt, innit? Air Force One, yes, Air Jordan and that, come on.
I bought this, I think, after I'd finished episode 2 of The Last Dance, and I was like, I just want some merch. I just wanted something, and there was no way I could pull off a Chicago Bulls jersey, so I just went...
It's not for everyone. I see those guys wearing the basketball jerseys with a t-shirt underneath.
With a white t-shirt.
Yeah, I was like, that's, most of us need to do that, to be honest. But
that's the equivalent of t-shirt in a swimming pool.
Yeah, like socks and sandals. Yeah, people don't want to see my feet, so socks and sandals it is. How have you been, man? Where are you?
Yeah, good. I'm in Battersea.
Oh, that's pretty central, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's nice, especially with the weather's like this. I had gigs at Top Secret last week, and I walked to and from the gig. It was lovely.
Nice.
I mean, I'll get bored of that pretty quickly, but you know, I'll be jumping on trains whenever I can.
But the amount of I've got a proper Eat Out to Help Out baby that I haven't delivered yet.
Right.
This little pouch here, so I need to. It's like, yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah. Where are you?
Blackburn.
Nice.
I'm at home. I've not lived in London for like 4 years. So when I when I quit my day job, I quit London.
Right.
And I used to obviously back and forth for work and stuff and seeing people. But yeah, obviously since the start of lockdown, I was permanently just here. And yeah, now I just go where I need to for work. So it's good. I prefer it.
Yeah, lovely. Because I guess you can get to London in a couple of hours anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I drive mostly as well. So
yeah, okay.
I make sure like there's two or three things or a couple of days. And then so that way it kind of makes the journey worth it.
Yeah. And you could probably stay in the Ritz and it would still work out cheaper.
Probably, yeah.
It was Andrew Ryan, I think, who worked out once that when we would stay up in Edinburgh for the festival, it would be cheaper to rent a villa in Spain and fly over for your gig every day. I mean, I'm sure Greta would have something to say about it, but it's amazing that it worked out. Yeah.
But, you know, she's our beautiful friend. She doesn't know. She doesn't know what we have to go through, mate.
Do you know anybody that's going to do the Fringe this year?
I'm sure they announced a few things. There's not anything running properly, but I tried to inquire as well because I've got my tour coming up in September. Like, it should have been, useful, to, even if it's like 5 days, just like a little run, just so I can just rehearse effectively, like dress rehearsals.
But
I don't know. Like, I know Lydia is looking at it, but there's nothing concrete at the moment. And because just keep changing the rules, and Scotland always let themselves out like 4 weeks after we do.
Like,
they're more cautious than we are, aren't we? And now that we're delayed to like mid-July, I don't know what's going to happen.
But so what are you going to do, Soho or anything as a run?
I've got a few things booked in. Like, I've got a couple of Leicester Square dates booked in, so I don't know.
Lovely.
I can't like do like Soho and Leicester Square, so I've picked one or the other. So I've got a couple of Leicester Square dates in. One's virtually sold out, one's doing well. I'm hoping that sells out as well. Then we can put maybe a third day. I would love to do four, would be nice.
Yeah, yeah. Four nights at the Ritz.
Yeah. but what about you, man? What have you got going on?
I'm basically waiting to see. So I did one support day with Michael because we did the Duchess Theatre, which was incredible. But he's just now waiting to see what's happening because he wants to tour next year.
No, man, that would be awesome. Like, yeah, someone supporting someone like him as well. That would be... Oop. And also, like, because his fans are so nice.
Yeah, they're so lovely. Like, and the other thing
really
is...
really nice, aren't they?
Because he doesn't really use social media himself or at all, you get the interaction because they can't reach him. But I am incredibly accessible.
If you enjoy the show tonight, Michael wants you to just let me know and I'll let him know.
I just start getting in their head to make it seem like I'm the star. Like, when I finish my set, I'll just say things like, stick around for Michael.
That's fun, man. That's fun. So Zoom gigs felt like treading water. Every single gig I did, I felt like I was treading water.
Yeah, exactly. Because you never knew when it was going to go. And that sort of, that delay as well, when you were delivering joke, even if you knew the joke worked normally, it was still that horrible thing about, and there's something worse. Being exposed on stage or a joke not working, fine, but having it happen in your own living room, really bleak.
Yeah. And I always felt like I had to moderate my language because I felt like, because people are in their homes.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Like I feel like because I'm swearing at them in their house, just felt a bit weird.
Yeah. And also your parents might hear you.
Yeah. My mum often, she's like, who are you shouting? Like, when I go downstairs, after this, she's probably like, who are you shouting at? And I'm like, yeah, fucking Jake Lambert, isn't it? That fucking Jake Lambert, mate.
I get that a lot, though, to be fair. Although, from the reports and the stuff I get after, I say reports, like we're having some assessment, I just mean from audiences, it's always mums coming up to me and they either say, I'm good at, like, my son would love you, I'll tell him to check out your stuff, or it's just how much we love the fact you didn't swear, like we could show you to our children, you don't swear. So that's the main feedback. So in fact, your mum would go, lovely boy.
Yeah. Why can't you be more like Jake?
Have you been watching the football?
Yeah, man. I just big football fan. So yeah. So we're looking forward to watching Wales after this, of course. The Finland Russia game finished 1-0, which ruined my prediction. I predicted 1-1.
Oh, did you? Oh, what are you doing that on? Or was it just for yourself?
Just
in a notepad.
In my admin. There's an official UEFA app that has a predictor league and a fantasy league.
Oh, right.
So it's quite, and I gave the codes to my fans. So like I'm playing against them and like the winner.
Oh, that's cool.
The winner of each league gets 2 tickets to my show.
Oh, that's lovely.
Quite nice. I've got like 450 people in the fantasy league, so that's quite nice.
Oh, amazing. Oh, well done. That's a great thing to do.
I'm like 91st, so I'm like, but 91st out of 400 isn't, I'm in the top 25%. It's like, that's the first at uni. That's decent.
If it's something weird about you setting up something for your fans and then a lot of them just sort of beating you, it's really humbling.
Yeah, but it's quite fun. Like it's quite fun for them as well because I'm like, oh, you're shit at this, and I'm like, no.
It's I think it's Finland's first ever major tournament.
Yeah.
Which I was surprised by.
I confused them with Iceland before because I was like, oh, they're back again. And I was like, oh, when I was watching the fans, I'm like, oh, where's all that? Where's that going? Why is it not doing that? And I was like, oh, it's a different country, mate.
At least you're brave enough to admit it. Yeah, I did this thing for TalkSport. TalkSport are doing a thing every day where they'll do like a little intro and things you didn't know about this country. So I like wrote them for them. So I ended up learning so much stuff. So now I've got like an in with every team. I'm like, oh, I like this team because of X thing. Nice. And it could be, you know, usually it's a player plays for them, the only player you've ever heard of. I would just support them.
Yeah. Like, who was that player for North Macedonia? Is it Goran Pandev for North Macedonia?
Yes,
like one player that you're like, I'm like, why do I know that name? And then you look him up and you're like, oh, of course he played for Inter Milan. That's why I know him. Like,
that's it, yeah.
Some random players pop up and you're like, I know that name.
Yeah, and then you just find out players you had no idea. Like, is David Alaba's like from Ukraine?
Austria,
that's it, yeah. I had no idea.
Yeah.
But me and I was out the other day, so Kevin Bridges did the work in progress because he can't gig in Scotland. So he came down, or I think it's not worth it. I think there's like, by the rules, it doesn't make the sense for the stands and that to open. So he came and did Bill Murray. So we did that together and then we ended up having some drinks. We were talking about the football, talking about the fixtures coming up. And then we saw that it was North Macedonia. I don't know if that was the Ukraine game, but basically we put a bet on it, £20 bet on there being over 4.5 goals. I'm not entirely sure what 0.5 of a goal is, but basically we put this bet on that would have been hundreds of pounds if they won. And the game ended up, there's like North, what was it? Ukraine scored two goals right at the end. So there was four goals in the game.
Yeah, it was 3-1, wasn't it, in the end?
Yeah. And we texted each other thinking, oh my God, this might actually happen. This ridiculous bet.
Yeah,
but I didn't realize because I was doing like a joke thing on Instagram stories, just being like, listen to Bridges, like if you that man knows his stuff. And then I woke up the next morning and people were messaging me saying, thanks for that, mate. I put the bet on, I could do with some drinking money. And I was like, I've lost a lot of people a lot of money.
It nearly paid off though.
So we actually looked like maybe we knew what we were talking about.
Do you see that guy who predicted the goal scorers and the own goal for the first game, but the Italy Turkey game?
So no guy, way.
But the official UEFA.com, what Twitter account, they were like, oh yeah, what you're, because they were advertising their predictor league thing and they're like, what are you predicting for today's game? This guy went Italy 3, Turkey 0, and then he went Insigne, Immobile, and then he predicted the name of the guy who scored the own goal.
What?
Like 4 hours before the game. And everyone was like, and then he went like, like it was like 100,000 retweets, and everyone was like, yeah, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like predicting an own goal is mad enough, but to get the guy who scored it correct.
Yeah. That's like, if you actually watch, there's like 200 deleted videos, which is him just going 1-0 and trying to come up with every possible solution.
But it was like, he was like he was Italian as well. He was some random, I think he supported Lecce. Because he was like, big up Lecce, putting Lecce on the map and all, he was doing all this. But speaking of like random players, we've got this English kid at Rovers called Ben Brereton.
Mm.
And it turns out his mum is Chilean. And they just rang him up before the game and were like, before the Copa, I went, do you want to come and play for Chile? And he went, yes. And I was in the squad and he played against Messi the other day. Like there's a picture with him trying to track back Messi. And I'm like, Ben Brereton is one of our worst players. Like if I didn't have a blue tick, I would troll him mercilessly. Like he's one of those strikers that doesn't score any goals and doesn't assist any goals, but he's just there, kind of like a budget Emil Heskey. Like, and Emil Heskey was bad enough, so it's like, yeah. So and then now he's playing for Chile up front.
What's his name?
Copa Americas. Ben Brereton. Because it's like apparently Messi struck the reason. One of the reasons why I'm not gonna talk. I could talk like a whole podcast on this. One of the reasons why Messi is not as good for Argentina as he is for Barcelona. One of the reasons is because he didn't grow up playing in South America. So he went to Barcelona when he was 10.
So
he didn't grow up he didn't grow up playing and adjusting to the South American climate. And it is different.
Yeah.
And the pitches are terrible. Like they're all cut. You look at it, it's like Continental Championship. And the pitches are like League Two standard. It's so bad.
Oh, so Ben Brereton's like, absolutely thriving.
Well, he's loving it. but yeah, so Messi, like, it's always like, So he can't make those excuses, but it's like, after 80th minute of every game, because they can't sub him because he's Messi, at the end of every game, he's dying. The player at like 2,000 meter altitude. It's like, Bolivia never qualify for anything, but they got an impeccable home record because everyone's fucked when they come and play them, but they just can't win away.
That's amazing.
This is mad. It's mad. Like that whole qualifying is so mad. Like he doesn't get the luxury of playing like Liechtenstein and Luxembourg and San Marino and Faroe Islands. He doesn't get that luxury of playing two games against them.
Yeah.
He has to go like fucking play Bolivia away. It's a mad fixture.
Tez, there's been a knock at the door. First guest of the evening. It's your live guest. Who's at the door?
Whew. This is tough to narrow this down.
Right.
But I'm going with, and I hope you know who she is, I'm going with Kiki Palmer.
Kiki Palmer. I don't know who that is.
So she is an American actress, singer, and just all-round good egg, very, very talented young woman. She became very prominent during the Black Lives Matter movement. Last year, she gave a couple of very impassioned speeches in her hometown. And I discovered her from there. And she's beautiful. She's talented. She's passionate about causes. I just love her to bits. And I think she's also just very, very funny online. Like I follow her on Twitter.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's just a brilliant personality. And I think she'd be an amazing dinner guest.
See, you've done so well there with the angle of the room, but it's a dinner party. Because what people sometimes do is they pick people. And then at the end, when we have to pick one of them to go through, they're like, well, actually, only one of my guests would be good for a dinner party.
Yeah. Because originally my mum went, oh, Messi. And then I was like, the guy's autistic. Like, he's definitely on the spectrum. And there's obviously that's perfectly fine. But he's very shy. He doesn't speak English. I don't know how. Plus, he's the first guest in.
Yes.
I'm so in awe of him as well. Like, I just, like, I've said every ex-girlfriend over the last 10 years, I've told them that, like, it probably won't happen. But if Messi ever rang me up to be his baggage boy, the relationship is done. Like, I'm off. Like, it is very unlikely, but it's just a caveat that you know at the start of the relationship. Just full disclosure.
Right. Yeah. So will you now, do you think, be slightly more in awe of Ben Brereton than you ever would have been because he's played alongside Messi? Well, against Messi.
100%. It's a shame he didn't get his shirt because Vidal got it. But that is just to be like, chasing the shadows, mate.
Right. So now I feel awful for not knowing Kiki Palmer. So what's she been in?
You know what? Nothing like mega mainstream, but she's got this amazing meme. I don't know if you've ever seen it. Is this meme where like she's in a police station being interviewed about someone and someone shows her a picture and it's obvious that she knows who this person is.
Yeah.
But she's like, I don't know who this man is. I'm sorry to this man, but I don't know who he is. I'm sorry to this man. It's so, you know what? Let me drop you the YouTube link. Because it's so funny.
And what's that from?
I don't even know. It's literally like a 10-second clip. So you could literally watch it now. But she's been in a few things, like nothing like crazy.
Right, okay.
But you know, she's done the like, oh, she was in an episode of Family Guy, she was in this, she was in that, she's done a few things. She was in the new, I think it might have been from Scream, because you know that Scream TV series?
Yeah.
She was in that. So it might have been from that.
Right. So how did you first become aware of her?
From the activism.
Oh, okay. Wow. Oh, she's in an upcoming Jordan Peele film.
She is. Which is
Untitled Jordan Peele Horror Event. So that suggests she's either in the film or she's just like dressing up as a character on the red carpet, like just scared.
I think she plays one of the things in Ice Age as well. Peaches in Ice Age. One of the woolly mammoth kids.
Right. Oh, okay.
I can't believe you didn't recognize her from that, mate. But yeah, if you click on that little link, it's such a funny meme. Like, I think I've put it in the chat.
Oh, well done.
It's literally like a 10-second clip.
Here we go. And then we have to try and find out what this is from.
I think it is Scream.
Here we go.
To say it, I hope I don't sound ridiculous. I don't know who this man is. I mean, he could be walking down the street. I wouldn't know a thing. Sorry to this man.
It's just the way she says, sorry to this man. This is very, very funny.
I've just seen, it came up on YouTube, that what that was. So apparently, because she's wearing the same outfit and it's got another thing that comes up. It's for Vanity Fair. And it says, Keke Palmer takes a lie detector test. So Vanity Fair maybe ran a thing with her. So they've clearly shown her someone like, so maybe that must have been like her,
like dad, someone famous.
Yeah. And then she's saying, that's even funnier that she's doing it. And then at one point she says, she's apologizing to them. Yeah. I'm sorry to them for not knowing
it. I'm sorry to this man. I think she is brilliant. But yeah, she's just ridiculously talented, very funny. She sings as well. And I think she could, to take the pressure off myself to provide the entertainment, I think she'd be a very entertaining.
Right. Person. Yeah.
Also beautiful. Like, I have a crush on her as well. And so, you know.
So why not?
Also that selfish perspective as well. I just think she's incredible. I'm in awe of her.
What?
She's like 27. So it's like she's. It's
oh,
like,
wow. Oh, okay.
It's overachieving that... people. And yeah. Like,
so annoying.
Is unnecessary.
Yeah. Imagine she'd turn up and she's bought, drinks, she's bought the dessert, and just options if you need it.
She'd probably buy me flowers. Like, that's what sort of person she is. But yeah, to look up one of the speeches, like, it's one of that probably named Passion, like, megaphone kind of, like, you know, just, yeah. It's
brilliant. Yeah.
She's brilliant.
Oh, right. So she's somebody who will probably just thrive now because, you know, you get people who, you know, do their job, but if they can do even more, if they're sort of outspoken, clearly smart, clearly, as you say, overachieving. Yeah. She'll just absolutely thrive.
Yeah. Do you ever meet those people like that you're just like, oh, is it necessary to be this good? Like, I have it when I meet like someone who's like really attractive. I don't mean like someone hot. I mean, you know, when you meet someone who's like so attractive, you don't fancy them.
Yeah.
You're like someone your brain is like, don't worry about this. Like, I see that when I meet someone who's so, you see it some like a Top Secret or something, and when you meet someone in the role and it's like, they're so attractive, and it could be a guy or a woman, and you're like, is that necessary? Who is this for? Like, when Beckham turned up at Meghan Markle and Harry's wedding.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, why are you doing that?
Yeah, because
that's completely unnecessary.
Yeah, because he looked like what people think they look like when they wear a suit. What we think we look like is James Bond. He turned up actually looking even more stylish than James Bond.
Like, I think James Bond would look at him like, James Bond would look at him like.
Yeah, gold finger, golden eye, golden balls.
If you were getting married and someone turned up looking like that, I'd be, you know how vexed I would be? I would call the wedding off. I'd be, I'm vexed. It's unacceptable.
Yeah, because you always hear about people wearing white or trying to upstage the bride.
Yeah.
But the fact that Harry was in like this military gear, he's like an actual prince. And
people love a uniform. People look sexy in uniforms.
Yeah. And he was upstaged by a man from East London in a suit.
With that voice.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But he looked better than both of them.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah. And he's got neck tattoos and he still manages to pull it all off.
Completely unnecessary behaviour.
Like, he must be the only person with a neck tattoo to go to a royal wedding.
Yeah, probably, innit?
Just so you know, as a pop quiz answer, one day.
Like a visible one, innit? Definitely.
Yeah, unless they were around in the 1600s and we had no idea. And everyone had their coat of arms
Like a brand, innit? Someone was branded once. Like.
But he looked like, you know, those people that sort of go to those Peaky Blinders festivals.
You know how they got, like, was it Ed Sheeran was in Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
They should get him in for a thing, like the cameo appearance. Like, don't speak, mate. Just
yeah. Well, he was. Beckham was in. He wasn't in Big Blinders, but he was in like King Arthur or something, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was in some. That does ring a bell, actually.
Yeah, but you're right. He missed a trick with them just not putting him in an incredible suit. Maybe it's in Cillian Murphy's contract. By the way, Beckham cannot show off in this.
Yeah. But then as soon as Cillian Murphy takes a fag out, though, it's over, isn't it? Like, that's
nothing, true.
Nothing tops that. Just doesn't light it. He doesn't have to light it. The whole scene, he can just take it, fiddle with it a bit, take it upon his mouth, and then like, and then do that, like do a bit of that.
And he's still the scene.
And then the scene's finished. Never lit it. And I mean, scene.
He and that show is absolutely incredible. But the amount of people who are going to look back at photos of themselves with that haircut in 20 years and really regret it.
Yeah. Do you ever watch it, though, and think, I don't know if I should be saying this publicly. Do you ever watch it and think, I love this show so much. I wish it was slightly better written.
Oh, like the dialogue or what's happening?
Dialogue, I like the dialogue. Just what's happening a little bit. It takes like, people say it as like, oh, it's what, you know, one if it's that, if it's your opinion, fine. But objectively,
yeah,
for me, like, it can't be one of the greatest shows of all time, because I'm like, it just gets a bit silly sometimes.
Yes. Yeah. And
there's a lot of it that's so grounded and feels like, wow, like this is, I'm borderline, I feel like I'm watching a doc. And then the last couple of episodes, you're like, oh.
And then what they'll do is they'll write themselves into a corner. And then sometimes, like, there was the start of one series when a lot of the family, like, Polly's about to be hanged. And then he marches in, he sorts it all out, and they get saved. And it's great. But there's a few series, I think, where they've written themselves into a corner, and it's taken so long to get out of the corner. And they're not rushing. I'm like, oh, what we want is him to go, look, here he is, and then get themselves into the next issue, and we're off again.
Yeah.
So I completely agree with that.
Yeah. Is that plot? It's like the Doctor Who thing, like, anything of just like, oh, I've got a sonic screwdriver, and you're like, oh, of course you've got the sonic screwdriver. So that's how you get out of this situation now. And is that kind of like something like that, the plot armor that Batman has? But with Batman, I don't mind it, because he's Batman. Like, it's just, he is Batman, so it makes sense. Whereas clearly, like, Tommy Shelby just feels a bit like Batman sometimes. It's like, yes, because he's in charge, so therefore everything, by the end, everything works out, and you're like, okay.
And he did go for Batman, didn't he, Cillian Murphy?
He did.
And I do wonder if actually, because Robert Pattinson doing this new one, actually, if Cillian Murphy hadn't been in that last trilogy, he would have been a great one for this one, the darker one.
Possibly. There's something about Robert Pattinson, though. He does, because it was like year two they're going for. So he's been Batman for a year, and now he's into his second year. So he's still a bit rough and ready. He hasn't got all his gadgets. He's snapping people's necks, not just hospitalizing.
Right, he hasn't got the ethics yet to go, actually, maybe
he hasn't quite got the nuance of like breaking a collarbone versus a neck bone. There's a subtle difference.
Yeah, right, which is always that such funny, is it Austin Powers thing, where you just see like this guy just gets shot and he just falls down like a nobody, and he just cuts to the scene of like his family finding out. And he's
But Henchman 3's family, and it's like, oh.
So good. Tez, there's been another knock at the door.
Ooh.
Interrupting you and Kiki. Mm. It's the second guest of the evening. It's your dead guest.
Normally I'd be annoyed. I'm like, interrupting me and Kiki time? Like, bro, come on. But this guest is just going to enhance the evening. I've raised the bar. I'm here. Kiki's raised it. Now this person is, whoo.
I love that you yourself have brought the bar high, and Kiki's
like, I brought the bar high. Like, I'm a confident person. I'm in my own house. I'm in my
own at this point.
I'm king of my own castle. You know what I mean? I'm good. Like, I'm already here. And then Kiki came and they went here. And now this person is boom. And you probably had this guest before, maybe, but it's Muhammad Ali.
Oh, do you know what? I don't think we have.
No.
I don't think we have. We're on episode 24, and I don't think we have.
Muhammad Ali.
I mean, usually when someone says it, my first question is, okay, why? But it sounds insane, because it's, you go, yep. Almost go, right, cool, next guest.
Why? Because you can teach me skipping. You know, he was a great skipper. So, he means, like, you know, he means everything to me, you know. He's obviously one of the greatest boxers of all time, greatest heavyweight of all time. The greatest athlete of all time, I think it's fair to say, or at least arguably anyway. Then his activism, you know, he's Muslim like myself, so there's a lot of that. He had amazing pearls of wisdom, this amazing sound bites, just very entertaining, funny, handsome, like the beauty level of this guest list is just, you know, because I'm here, Kiki's brought it, and then
she's
Muhammad Ali is like, oh. Kiki's looking at him going, is that necessary? Is that
yeah.
What is this?
I thought I was the best activist here. Hold on.
Yeah. So yeah, Muhammad Ali.
Think about this the other day, like what he did to like to refuse, like to change his name like that, to like refuse to just the things he was brave enough to do at so young as well. You just forget how young he was when he was doing all this.
24, 25 when he refused to be drafted. And he was adamant that he wasn't going to go. And then he lost his boxing license. Those were his prime years.
Yeah.
Where he lost his boxing license. So he did a university circuit, just touring, doing speeches to like uni students and college students and stuff.
Yeah.
So he got by a little bit doing that. Then he kind of got stabbed in the back by the Nation of Islam. So he was inspired by Malcolm X to convert to Sunni mainstream Islam. And he just an amazing, amazing guy. Just incredible. And not without flaws, you know, and which makes me think like if Muhammad Ali, the exact same person, was to be here and now doing what he's doing, and you know, society, like all corners of the globe revere him.
Right, yeah, great. Glad you saved it there. When you put that on me, I felt so much pressure.
Revere him. You know, every culture and society and stuff. Like if he was here now, speaking the way he did. His activism and the positions that he took, you'd be there. We've seen it now. There are certain large portions of society would hate him, as they did back then. You know, Colin Kaepernick taking the knee was completely inspired by what Muhammad Ali did, and those people hated him for refusing to be drafted, and they hated the way what he stood for and his constant braggadocio, if you will, and all that stuff. Like, they hated all that. So it's so interesting what time does for your legacy, because what he did, and everyone was like, oh, he was so amazing. Like, people are doing that now, and you don't like them. It's cognitive dissonance. Like, your brain over here is not talking to your brain on this side. So your brain on this side is going, Muhammad Ali, and your brain is going, oh, bloody Muslims. And it's like, can you just talk to each other, please? It's happening now with the take the knee booing and all that, England plays and stuff. It's like Sterling scored the winner.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah. But what if at that moment, for a fucking laugh, he took the knee? you know how much I would have rated him for that? Oh, it just would have been the funniest. If England win the Euros and when they pick the trophy, instead of doing that, he would take the knee. You know how much I would fucking love that? Oh. It would be so funny.
I was talking to my friend about that the other day, and they were saying how certain people are going to boo them taking the knee. And he said, what we should do is this, everyone else should start booing those people. And I said, no, that is just everybody booing.
Your friend is an undercover agent for the far right. Oh, if I boo, then you can all boo me.
I was like, no, that's the same thing. That is just worse. You've just added to the muffler. The idea of him being there and just thinking he's going to turn and just join in thinking, I'll put an end to this.
And it's so sad as well because, like, I like booing is very underrated as a comedic device.
Yeah.
Like, when someone overachieves... How funny is it, like, like, it's just fun. And now they're taking that from us.
Yeah. If you think about going back to Ali, all his activism, his incredible use of language, how good he was at almost like cutting through issues with a laser to say, this is the point I'm trying to make. And the argument the other side have to that is, boo.
Here's my well thought out arguments, like just rock solid, like undeniable, like they've been thought about from every single angle. They are just like a math equation. Just it works. What have you got? It's undefeatable. It's a simple spell, but it works.
Yeah, that's it. It's almost like we're talking about the sonic screwdriver.
Yeah.
It's like, oh no, how are the far right going to defeat it?
Yeah.
Boo. I forgot about the boo.
Like if Thanos is about to snap his fingers, it's like, I am inevitable. And I remember when, boo! Boo! Boring! Boo! You've already done that once, mate. Boo! like, oh. Yeah. But he's, you know, he was a superhero. So, you know,
you're right.
He's in the DC universe. There's a comic book where him and Superman fought on a planet where Superman's powers don't work. So he's strength of a normal human, and Ali absolutely pulverizes him in a boxing match.
I didn't know that. That is so good.
He's an honorary member of the Justice League.
And I prefer DC, so I'm so happy to hear.
So
that.
Do I. Oh my god, so do I.
Yes.
I will die on this hill. Yes. Yes.
What you get to do when picking the dead guest, you get to pick the age they come back.
Oh yes, you know, I actually thought about that as well. Right. Post George Foreman thriller in Manila.
So how old is he there?
It's mid-30s, early to mid-30s, I think. About 34, 35, I think. Still got his sharpness. He's the champion of the world. And he just this pearls of wisdom. You know those interviews that he had back in the day, like you see him all over YouTube, like it's obviously pearls of wisdom that he dropped. It would just be good to pick his mind and stuff. And it was interesting, like something that I was bringing up earlier, like he was a flawed individual. He did make mistakes. And it's interesting that, like, if you read back some of the things that he did, particularly like people would bring them up. Like if he was alive today, like, you know, people would hate him because of the things that he stood for and how he did it and how, you know, just how he was and stuff. And, you know, he was arrogant. That was part of his persona. People wouldn't like that. And also, you know, he's a flawed human being. He made mistakes and people would use that against him in a way that we don't now, because it's with the fullness of time. And we kind of like, well, you know, that's Muhammad Ali. He was of his time and he did those things. But he was what he did was greater than, was so much greater than the mistakes that he made and stuff. And it's like, yeah, we wouldn't give him that grace, I think, if he was alive now. So I find that
right.
Fascinating as well.
Yeah. It would be, the only shame with bringing him back would be you would just have to make sure you don't let him anywhere near the internet, because it'd be awful for him to discover the likes of, is it Logan Paul?
Yeah, Logan Paul and all those guys. Oh, God bless him.
He was like, it's Saturday night. There must be a fight on tonight, Tez. You're like, ah, there's nothing on tonight.
No,
I'm sure
boxing.
It's Saturday night. There's nothing at all, because I'm just thinking Saturday night used to be a big money maker. You're telling me there's no
bit of Gogglebox mix.
Yeah. Oh, what he would make about that fight?
Oh my days! You know what though? The worst thing is, like, obviously Logan Paul's the older one, isn't it? Jake Paul, the younger one. I hate to say it, he seems like a handy lad.
Really? Okay, I'll be honest. For many reasons, I've not watched a single fight.
At the moment, it is very much handpicked.
Yeah, okay.
But as a boxing fan, he does seem to know what he's doing. But obviously, if you put him in with a pro of his own weight, like, it's, you know, he's not. He'd have to start from the bottom.
Yeah, yeah.
Very much so, and work his way if he was that serious. But he doesn't need to. He's getting paid £10 million per fight, £5 million, whatever, £2-3 million.
That's so it. Yeah.
Why would he? If he can't just do that fighting people he's guaranteed to win, why would you, you know?
Yeah.
And he looks good doing it.
Because funnily enough, you offered Ali the alternative watching Love Island on a Saturday night. But Jake Paul, doesn't he keep getting called out by Tyson Fury's nephew, yes, who was in Love Island? What's his name?
Younger brother.
Younger brother.
Tyson's younger brother. Is it Tommy?
Tommy Fury.
Yeah.
So he's trying to call him out.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, is almost like peak reality TV. But that one, I probably would watch.
At this point, they might as well.
Yeah, I mean, I almost feel bad to bring Ali back, just in case he does find any of this out.
Maybe I'll just show him Tyson Fury and AJ and be like, these are the heavyweight champions of the world.
Yeah.
Actually, significantly. And I'd ask him what he thinks about AJ and Tyson, and maybe show him a couple of highlights, because they're bigger than he was. Like, heavyweight boxers are now a lot bigger than he was of his time. But then he did beat George Foreman and stuff. So I'd be interested to see him watch a few highlights and him assessing, like, honestly, without the sort of like, I'm Muhammad Ali, of course I'd be, you know, away from the cameras. Honest assessment of like what he thinks and how he thinks he would do. Because obviously he's Muhammad Ali, like, but he was of his time and now things have moved on slightly. Does he still honestly think? And I think the answer is yes, but I'd want his honest assessment of how he thinks he'd do against these guys who are a bit bigger than him.
Yeah, right. Because, I mean, obviously this guy wasn't as good, but when David Hay...
Oh, yeah, the Goliath. Yeah.
Who literally wasn't it? So he had something, he was born with something where his skull was thicker than anybody else's. Like he was, it was ridiculous. And the photos of the two together is madness. But he won.
Yeah.
So obviously there is more
the equivalent of us fighting David Hay.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
That's the equivalent. It's like, it's so mad.
Yeah, that's it. He drove past me the other day in his Rolls Royce.
Nice.
Yeah, so he's a very modest man. But I mean, ultimately, do you reckon, I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? Because we're talking about it. I mean, Ali, ultimately, what we should say is Ali would be, in his prime, would be either of these two.
You'd think so. But then a 6'9" Tyson Fury, it's an issue.
Yeah. But I wonder how that would go down in any sort of boxing community.
I don't know. He's also slick as fuck, Tyson. I'm not saying he'd win, but I'm saying it's not 100 times out of 100 I think Ali would win.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Well, what you actually get to do is, when you bring the dead guest back, is you get to ask them one question.
I thought you were going to say you get to fight them. And to be honest, Kiki or Muhammad Ali, I'm not sure I fancy my chances with either of them, to be honest.
So, Tez, you've chosen Mother Teresa. So you get to ask him one question. Luckily, that question is, do you want to fight? You can ask him anything you want.
Okay. Have I brought him back? Is it a time machine that I've brought him from the year 1970-something? Or is he dead and I've brought him back from the afterlife?
So he's dead and you've brought him back, but you do get to choose the age. I mean, ultimately, the whole thing's flawed. But yeah, so you also get to pick the age. So yeah, you're right.
Okay.
It's
okay. So so my assumption is this is post afterlife Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
So he's died. He's living in the afterlife, and now I brought him back for a couple of hours. I would ask him what he thinks is the key to spiritual success with a view to a successful afterlife.
Oh, wow.
Because he's like me, he's Muslim. So I'm believing he's gone to, you know, the Muslim afterlife. That's the belief that I hold. And so I'd want to ask him, you know, I want to know how that's going for him. And what is he, if he has any advice to pass on to me to achieve success for my afterlife. It's not funny. but it's sincerely what I would ask.
Yeah. Him. Well, there we go. And we can only imagine, literally.
We can only imagine. Oh, I love him. I love him so much.
Lovely choice.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
There's been another knock at the door.
Oof.
Third guest of the evening, fictional guest, Tez, who's at the door?
Now, I'm hoping, because he doesn't like a party, so I'm hoping he's in a good mood, because if he's not, this whole event could go south. So okay. I'm hoping and I'm praying, and because I can fix this, I have, that he's in a good party mood, and I've picked Rick Sanchez.
Right. Okay. What's the worry if he's not in a good mood?
he'll fuck off. Like, he's got a portal gun, innit? He'll just go. Or he'll just take all my guests with him. And he'll be like, I know somewhere better. And he'll just take everyone. And I'm like, I haven't finished. I didn't even get to ask Brother Mohammed the question.
Right, okay. So, how long has Rick and Morty been around now?
4 seasons.
So, when did you first become aware of it? Right at the start?
No, not after the second season. Like, I just started seeing memes and clips and stuff. And I was like, and then everyone banging on about it. And I was like, all right, it's a couple of seasons. There's only 20 episodes. If I hate it, I can, whatever. So, I gave it a watch. And it is one of the best things I've ever seen. But it's one of those things that I watched. And the first time I ever watched it, I couldn't enjoy it because I was so infuriated at how good it was. And I just thought, like, these are human beings who've written this. Like me, like this wasn't made by a super AI computer. Just humans have made this. So how is it so good?
I think that there's some shows, and I'd put Rick and Morty there, stuff like Brooklyn Nine-Nine and Community.
Yeah, like the American Office and stuff. And you're like, why is it? How?
Yeah, what is... Because there's... And you go, of course, they're like, which is incredible then when Our Office did so well, because you just go, that is so funny and it's bulletproof. But you just go, the team of writers, and this still keeps the tone, and it's so well done. It's so well done. And I feel like that, and I almost feel like they're too good that I just sort of get overwhelmed by it and I can only watch a bit at a time.
Yeah. And like it just makes me feel so inadequate. And you're like, well, I'm never gonna, I'm trying to pitch TV shows, but then I guess it's like, if you're gonna be a footballer, you know, if you're gonna say like I'm gonna be as good as Messi and Ronaldo, then don't play.
Yeah.
Like, don't start. Just be the best. Just do the best you can. The only thing you can ever do, you can only ever make the best show you're capable of. And if that's not Rick and Morty, then that's fine.
Yeah. What's the creators made before this?
There was something. I think one of them was on Community.
Oh yeah, because is it Dan Harmon that does it?
Yeah.
I think it might be, mightn't it?
So I think Dan Harmon oversees it, but then the other guy is the creator, whose name I forget, Justin Roiland, who plays Rick and Morty.
That's mad.
That's mad, isn't it?
That's one of those overachievers. You go, that's not fair.
It's unnecessary, isn't it?
Unnecessary. Then my argument would be, oh, actually, you're putting other actors out of work, so actually, you're showing off is actually negative.
Selfish.
Wow. It's almost like, I don't know where the heck you got the idea, but it's almost like, what would Back to the Future have been like if Martin McFly was just this really innocent boy who just didn't want anything to do with it?
Yeah, and Doc was like some savage heroin addict. It's fucking junkie.
Yeah, because it is. It's so good. But again, I know what you mean. I get overwhelmed when I watch it. I just go, this isn't fair.
Yeah.
It's so well done. But what do you reckon he'd actually be like at a dinner party? I mean, we've seen him at a couple of dinners with the family.
He's not great. But you know, when he's in a party mood, he does love a party.
That's true.
He does love a party. So I'm hoping like, and I feel like he'd also love my dinner guests. I think he'd love Muhammad Ali. And I think he'd really enjoy Kiki Palmer's company as well. I'm hoping that I've caught, because it's my party as well, I've put him in a good mood.
Yeah, great.
He wants a break from the kids, he wants a break from the family, from Morty and that. And he's just like, I'm just gonna hang out with these guys for a bit.
What's your favorite episode?
There's so many. I mean, obviously Pickle Rick is so sublime. Pickle Rick! but I do think, honestly, the second ever episode was the one with the dog. The dog, where the dog becomes sentient and they take over the world and stuff. And then and at the same time, the B story is incepting their teacher.
Yeah.
So they got the A story, or the A story is incepting the teacher to get Morty a better math grade. And then they're going down several layers to meet like a knockoff Freddy Krueger. And then the B story is the dogs have taken over the world. And it's just, both those side stories are so amazing.
Okay, Tez, 3 excellent choices. We now go through who I chose for you.
Oh, go on. Yeah, this would be interesting.
For Alive,
yeah,
I went with Ben Brereton. No, I'm joking.
You wouldn't even be my chick pick of the Rovers, like, subs bench. Although now I'm like, what was it like being in Messi's shadow? Did you get a touch on him?
So I went with Imran Khan.
Oh, that's, you know, it's a good shout.
He was in the conversation.
I think it'd have to be, if I picked Imran Khan, I wouldn't have picked Muhammad Ali.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
I think it's one sporting hero that can give me pearls of wisdom.
Yes.
Yeah. Otherwise, I'd be doubling up on the same thing, I think.
Yeah, but you're right, actually, because they're sort of quite similar in that sense, having both sports in very outspoken and then sort of, but I mean, Imran Khan, incredible.
Yeah, incredible. You know, imagine I would just be like, can you just give me a 5-minute pep talk and I'd record it and I can play it to myself every time I'm feeling down?
Yeah. It's that sort of person, isn't it? And you would accept everything they said as that is, I can't argue it. No boo can shout down that argument.
Yeah. Like if we had a team of heroes to defend Earth against an alien invasion, I'd want 1992 Imran Khan to coach that team.
Great. Now that is a Space Jam I'd like to watch.
Yes. Right? He'd be, ah. Oh.
Amazing. So I understand, therefore, because for dead guest, you guess you could say I hedge my bets, because for dead, I went with Muhammad Ali.
And you, bingo, absolutely bingo. Yeah. So if you, I was trying to think, if I had Imran Khan, who would I then have chosen as my dead guest? I think that's very interesting.
Can I say who I was umming and ahhing with? And this is because what happened was I was looking through, you know, I look through like a couple of people's tweets and stuff and see what they're into. And I know that you're into superhero stuff. Yeah. So I went with, my choice was going to be, because I was going through, I could never decide which one of those would be your fictional choice. So in the end, I went with Chadwick Boseman.
Ooh, that would have been good. That would have been a very good choice. Also, like, there's a fascinating conversation to be had with Chadwick. You know, after once we've, you know, later on in the night when things, you know, maybe you've had a couple of talks with a bud, I think you're going a bit deeper. And just the dignity in which he lived his last few years.
Yeah.
The idea of withholding that information and carry on working.
Yeah.
And just live with it in the background. And because there were criticisms about his appearance, you know, like Twitter trolls people, like there were criticisms about his experience, but there were a couple of times where he looked a little bit frail and there were like people criticising as trolls do online. Mm. And like to not respond to any of that and just... It's just there's something about that that I would want to discuss maybe or have a conversation about. And
I mean, phenomenal human again.
Yeah, incredible guy. But yeah, that's a great show.
Thank you. And then for fictional, because I was going for it and I was like, I wouldn't even have to start with Marvel. And then again, you think about these and you go, actually, you know, what would, you know, as much as you can't have Batman at a dinner party because that would just be someone sat there very serious and you don't really want Bruce Wayne. You're not very smug. So I went with Dewey Finn, Jack Black's character from School of Rock.
I fucking love that guy. He's so funny. And he could get us jamming by the end of the night.
Exactly. As a dinner party guest as well. It's solid.
Chadwick's got a great voice.
Yeah.
Imran Khan's coaching us.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what I could maybe like clap my hands to the beat, maybe do a triangle or something. It's so good.
Obviously, he's the only choice from that, really, because it would be strange if you wanted like just one of the school children to turn up, maybe awkward at a dinner party.
Yeah, or the head teacher.
Yeah. Hell of a night.
Yeah, hell of a night.
So there you go. That was my three. Toughest part of the podcast now. We have to pick one of your guests to go through to the ultimate dinner party. I'll be honest, with your three, there's quite an obvious choice, I think.
I think there is. And I'm submitting my hero and the greatest human of the 20th century, Muhammad Ali.
Lovely.
That was really fun, man. I think I did. Yeah, I'm happy with all my choices there.
Mate, thank you so much for coming on. That was so good. So good to catch up.
Yeah, man. Thank you, man. I really enjoyed it.
What's your dates for Leicester Square?
25th of September, 26th of November.
Lovely.
Yeah, yeah. Now give me a shout and I'll put you in the door. So give me a
really?
Saturday. It's a Friday, Saturday. Again, it's like Friday nights, you know,
people are working. Of course, right, yeah.
So like, obviously, like, if you're working, absolutely fine. But, like, if you happen to have a free diary, then give me a shout and I'll put you in the door.
That'd be great. Lovely. And you got the book out.
Yes. Yes, my book is out, The Secret Diary of a British Muslim, age 13 and three quarters.
Amazing.
Yeah, there it is. There it is. Yeah, it's out. And yeah, it's available from all good bookstores, Amazon, Audible, for those people who love
to. Oh, did you do the Audible?
I did. And it's on the Kindle for ebooks as well. So yeah, however you wish to consume books.
So there's no excuse. Is it also available at my local library?
It might be.
I'll find out for you.
I don't know if it is yet, but I would love that. If my book can be in the library, like, that would be awesome. I think they do a thing where, like, stuff isn't immediately available. You know, like, how movies aren't available immediately to watch from home because they're in the cinema?
Yes, yeah.
I think they do that with books, so they're not immediately available in the library because they encourage you to buy it, and then maybe after...
Then you can make some money.
Then they go to the library, I think.
Yeah,
I think,
can't imagine people are making much out of the library industry.
Yeah.
Right, thank you so much, mates.
Cheers, bud. Thank you for having me. Bye-bye.
So that was Tez. I hope you enjoyed it and I hope you agreed with the choice. I mean, I think you do very well to argue that any of the others should have gone in his place. But if you do want to get in touch, it's guestlistwithjake@gmail.com. Thanks again for downloading and I'll be back again soon. Bye.
Last night, I had a dream. When I got to Africa, I had one hell of a rumble. I had to beat Tarzan's behind first for claiming to be the king in the jungle. For this fight, I've wrestled with alligators. I've tussled with a whale. I done handcuffed lightning and put thunder in jail. You know I'm bad. I have murdered a rock. I injured a stone and I hospitalized a brick. I'm so bad, I make medicine sick. I'm so fast, man. I can run through a hurricane and don't get wet. When George Foreman meets me, he'll pay his debt. I can drown a drink of water and kill a dead tree. Wait till you see Muhammad Ali.